This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross, and I'm with my... little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. And Jeff, right now I'm so full of chocolate, I cannot begin to tell you.
I'm the jelly bean guy, Fred. Easter Sunday, my favorite jelly bean day of the year.
Yeah, but you know what's great about Easter Sunday for me is I get some chocolate and then I get to pair it with a nice cigar.
Yes, it's cigar day.
That I have not smoked in the last 46 days.
And here we are in the patio at McMahon's.
Yeah.
So what a better place to have a cigar.
Absolutely.
So folks, we have lots and lots and lots and lots of content for you today. Lots of stuff. The Arizona International Film Festival folks are here. The Marana Bluegrass Festival folks are here. We got guys from the Autism Society here. So quickly, we want you to go to TucsonHappenings.com, check out all the events that are happening in Tucson, get out there and grab your copy because they're hot off the press. As a matter of fact, this issue, I think, is the first issue where there's a two-page Saturday of all the stuff that's going on in Tucson. It's crazy. Or go to their website, TucsonHappenings.com. Fred.
And they are the official calendar sponsor of the Fred Jeff Show. So, you know, we need to make sure this is in Tucson Happenings, but actually you should check it out. April 11th, the 96th Ballet Celebration presented by the St. Luke's Board of Visitors is going on. The oldest existing philanthropic group in Tucson.
What time does it start?
On the 11th?
Yeah.
It's a dinner.
So it's in the evening?
It's in the evening, yeah.
Oh, look. I'm looking right now.
So we got that. The Tucson Boys Chorus have their Pops concert coming on May 2nd. We have the Greater Tucson Fire Foundation 4th Annual Motorcycle Poker Run coming up on the 16th of May. But you know what's running right now, Jeffrey? It's in preview. A Weekend with Pablo Picasso.
Love it, Fred. Love
ATC.
It.
ATC, and actually we're going to be talking to those guys next week.
Right, but let's start with the show. We got some folks here from the Autism Society.
Go for it.
All right, guys, how are you doing?
A couple weeks ago we had Pete Schwartz on talking about autism and dental health.
Yes.
And is it this week or this month is Autism Awareness?
Autism Awareness Month is April, so we are... full on into Autism Awareness Month, and we really appreciate you having Nicole and I out here to talk about autism.
Absolutely.
So we also have Nicole Glasner.
You got it.
I was so bad with your names.
Right.
And you're the executive director. Notice how we did that really slowly.
I know, right?
Nicole Glasner.
Yeah, I'm the new executive director of the Autism Society of Southern
congratulations.
Arizona.
Thank
Excellent. You.
All right. So what's going on with the Autism Society? Nicole Glasner, new executive
That's
director.
We are actually really excited to talk about our walkathon that's coming up on April 11th.
Perfect.
It's this coming Saturday. Registration starts at 8:30.
And it's at the Keno Sports Complex.
It is. It's a great location. There's tons of room to bring your family down as well. We've got tons of things aside from just walking going on. There's a scavenger hunt. We have lunch. We have the fire truck. We have tons and tons of vendors coming out with lots of information.
About autism and how you can support.
You know, it's definitely about autism. Our vendors actually talk about the whole range of things. It can go from cerebral palsy to Down syndrome, all the way across the board, as well as some of our great sponsors that are going to be there.
Wow, that's great. Do you want to say a shout out to say thank you to anybody?
We would love to thank Guild Mortgage and all of our other sponsors that are making it all happen for us.
Don't be nervous.
This is
just radio.
I know.
Joseph Blair is our celebrity chair.
Oh, he's great.
Former basketball star.
He owes us $20.
I think
I'll let him know next time.
He's done a huge amount to support us, and we just have so many great businesses that have been supporting us, community members. It's just, I love the fact of how welcoming the Tucson community is in dealing with people affected by autism. It's just really heartwarming to see the support that we've gotten.
That's awesome. Now, folks, you want as many folks to get involved as possible.
Absolutely.
And they only have a week left to get involved.
That's right.
Where should they go to get involved?
And they should go to as-az.org.
AS, Arizona...
Autism Society.
Autism Society. Oh, Autism Society.
Arizona. So it's as-az.org.
Okay.
And they can either click the donate button, they can register to walk off on the top, there's a nice gray bar there, or they can call our office and they can volunteer for the event or in the office or any other time.
You guys still need volunteers?
We always need volunteers.
Okay.
And this walk supports all of the programs and educational events that we provide for the Southern Arizona community. We try to provide all of our programs and events free of charge so that every single family and every individual affected by autism that needs services gets it. So if people want to support us, this is a great way to do it. Come to the event, and they will absolutely be helping the autism community.
How long has the Autism Society been in Tucson? How long have you guys been doing the good work?
It's been in Tucson about 25 years.
Okay.
And just about a year or two ago, we recognized we needed to change our model and grow. So we brought in Nicole as a executive director. We have a chapter down in Santa Cruz. We recognized that with the increasing prevalence of autism, which is now 1 in 64 births in Arizona, that we need to do more to serve the needs of the Southern Arizona community.
1 in 64 kids born in Southern Arizona has autism?
Yes.
Some form of autism.
Some form of autism. And autism is a spectrum disorder. So it affects people from mild, where they're very high functioning, maybe have some social issues, to very severe.
What?
To very severe, where they may have cognitive delays, no speech. So there's a wide range of how people are affected by autism.
All right. You guys, what do you do? Do you outreach to the families? Do the families outreach to you? How do folks get involved in your...
The answer is yes, both.
Okay.
We definitely have a lending library. We have resources in our office. And then we go out and we teach families how to advocate for themselves.
That's huge.
And we do education workshops. We have a professional coalition that we can then, if we don't know the answer, we certainly know where to send people.
Excellent.
And information and referral is one of the big things we do. We're generally the first call when a family finds out their child has autism. They call us, and if we can't provide in-house services, then we direct them to where they can go to get the help that they need.
All right, so one more time. Is there a phone number you want to give out, or you guys have to do just a website?
Either 520-770-1541 is our phone number, and the website, as-az.org.
Awesome. Guys, great luck on the walk.
Thank you. Any amount helps. They don't have to participate in the walk. If they just want to donate at our site.
Okay.
Sleep in, that would be great, too.
Yeah, I would like to pay to sleep in that day.
I will take your donation for that, so that would be great.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You.
Have a great, great walk. Guess what's coming up next on the Fred Jeff Show? Stick around for some more fun right here on the Fred Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
Love me, darling, just a night. Take your arms and hold me tight. Thank you.
is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
And lots of fun, too, Fred. That was a good time.
Yeah, and we're sitting here out on the patio of McMahon's Prime Steakhouse near Fort Lowell and Swan.
That's right.
Enjoying some cocktails, some cigars, and beautiful bluegrass music.
Yeah, nice work, folks. All right, and with us today is Jim Sanchez and the whole crew from the Marana Bluegrass Festival. But, Jim, what's the name of the organization? It's Desert Bluegrass?
We are the Desert Bluegrass Association.
Right.
Okay, in conjunction with the town of Marana and the Arizona Bluegrass Association up in Phoenix. So, together, these three organizations are producing this festival.
It's fabulous. And fabulous. You got people
growing.
Coming in from all over the place to play.
Yes, we do.
It's great. Yes. And you guys have been doing this for how long?
This is our third year.
Third year, that's it?
This is our third year because in the past, we used to have another festival that was held over at Ava Amphitheater. That has been discontinued now, and now all the efforts go to the Marana Bluegrass Festival under the Desert Bluegrass Association.
Okay.
And the town of Marana.
Okay.
And the Arizona Bluegrass Association.
It's great. It's great. So, you know, one of the reasons that we like having you guys on the show so much is, number one, it's kind of an all-ages event. We love these family events. But number two, you guys make music, and you share making music with other people. You still hold little clinics, and you show folks how to play, you know, so they fall in love with bluegrass. Because you're a native Tucson, aren't you?
I'm a native Arizonian.
Okay, so you're from Arizona. Where are you from?
Northern Arizona, a little place called Holbrook, Arizona.
Holbrook, okay. Yeah. And Holbrook's not the mecca of bluegrass in the United States.
No, it's not.
So you fell in love with bluegrass somewhere along the way.
Yes.
And you all are sharing that love with a bunch of us, you know, Mexicans that...
I know.
You know, yeah, well, yeah, Sanchez, that's a nice English name.
Not a typical bluegrass
name. No, not at all. So tell us what's the outreach that you guys do in the community as well?
Well, first of all, our mission statement for the Desert Bluegrass Association is to promote bluegrass music in Southern Arizona. And beyond that, the state of Arizona, and beyond that, on the national scene. And, what we do at the Desert Bluegrass Association is that we have two bluegrass workshops, one on the east side, which is held at Christ Community Church on Monday nights, and the one that we host is on the northwest side in Marana, and that's on Wednesday evenings at 6:30.
Wait, are you talking every Monday and every Wednesday?
Every Monday and Wednesday.
So someone can literally pick up a guitar or a banjo or a fiddle,
yes,
or a mandolin or a bass and come down there,
yes,
or maybe a baritone ukulele. And come down there and...
We do have that. Even a harmonica player.
Or harmonica?
Yeah.
It cost them nothing.
Yes.
Zip, just to sit around with you guys?
Yes. Yeah. Learn. We don't teach them how to read music or anything like that. What we do is teach them the mechanics of playing bluegrass music. And we play lots of bluegrass music. Last night we had our workshop and we did a circle jam, which is preparing them to play at festivals because that's where they do all the jamming. You know, and they learn how to pick songs and play in front of people.
Okay, now wait a second. At a festival, wouldn't this be kind of like, you know, we just had the Tucson Jazz Festival, so everybody got to go to these venues, they got to go to the Fox and all these places to see great jazz music. Are you telling me that folks can actually bring their musical instruments to your festival and play with the professionals?
On some occasions, they can. Dave, why don't you kind of...
The nice thing about bluegrass festivals is during the day, there's performers on stage, but everybody camps in their RVs. Once the performance is done at 5 o'clock, the party is just beginning, and we all sit out there and pick music till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And the great thing about bluegrass music is I can walk up to another guy with a guitar, another guy with a bass we've never met. We can pick for an hour, and... We know the same genre of music and the style of the music, so it's very easy to just step right in and start jamming with somebody.
Wow. So the bluegrass, I mean, I'm going to take a little risk here. I'm sure there's sheet music out there, but a lot of this is just played, you know, ad lib. It's just common threads that you guys know.
Bluegrass music, it's kind of the hardest, simplest music you'll play. It's simple in the sense of the chord structure, but one of the goals that we're trying to do as musicians is repeat the melody on our instruments, which is the vocal part of the song. So that's the hardest part, is reproducing the melody. But also, you don't have to do that every time. You can improvise. So it actually has a jazz aspect into bluegrass too, where over the chord progression of the song, you might not know the exact melody, but you can play something that works in the chord progression, and you're improvising in a jazz type sense.
Okay, folks, this is Dave Polson. He was the banjo player for the song you just heard. By the way, what was the name of the song you guys just played?
That was called Love Me Darling,
Just Tonight, and it was done by the Stanley Brothers.
The Stanley Brothers, all right. All right, so it's a great song. You guys did it justice, too. Thank you.
So Kentucky is sort of like, that's sort of the home ground.
Is there a
Arizona bluegrass style?
Via mariachi?
Well, I play in a band. We're called the Too Lazy to Ranch Band. We're actually performing at the festival. It's our second year. And we take bluegrass instrumentation, but we do some country stuff with it. So you can actually use bluegrass instrumentation to play bluegrass music, or you can use it as a style to do country music, or even a pop song or a rock song. So,
wow,
it's a style of music. It's not the actual words; it's the genre of the music itself.
Right. That's cool.
The instrument.
So let me have you guys all introduce yourself. You're playing the mandolin.
Yep, mandolin.
And your name is?
My name is Joanne Shiplett.
Joanne.
I'm Wayne Babb, and I play the bass.
Wayne Babb playing the upright bass. Jim, we know you playing the guitar. Dave, we know you playing the banjo.
Sue Alstrager on the fiddle.
Sue on the fiddle.
Hall of Fame fiddle player for the state of Arizona.
Oh, yeah. She's won a lot of
songs. Is this true, Sue?
Yes.
Wow. That's great. How long have you been playing bluegrass?
About
14
years.
About
14
years?
Yeah, I play bluegrass and country and
whatever.
I like it all.
Yeah, that's great. So you have a Hall of Famers, you've got people brand new starting. You actually are going to have a picking demonstration or picking contest?
We are, on Friday night, we are having the first ever for our festival here, a flat picking contest.
Flat picking contest.
Okay, now this flat picking contest, there's three prizes. $500 for first place, second place is $300, third place is $200.
Okay, so hold on, Jim. For those of us that don't know, what is flat picking?
Well, flat picking is an art form of...
That's not what Fred does when he's by himself, is it?
No.
Hey, you said you never tell anybody.
It's being able to take a song, okay, and pick out the melodies on the chord, on the guitar.
Okay.
And it's like, you've heard of Peter McLaughlin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's a national flat picking champion, okay? They're very proficient at picking out melodies on the guitar and playing, just utilizing that guitar like if it was nothing to them.
Wow.
And they do fiddle songs, they do a bunch of other songs that they've written, but it's the first, it's an art form, and we're going to have it the first time in Tucson.
Oh, awesome. So what's the website folks can go to get more info? Other than going to friendjip.com, yes. What's your website?
www.moranafestival.com.
Moranafestival.com.
Very simple.
All right, we got about a minute left. You guys are going to play one more for us. Take us into the bottom of the hour break, please. What's this one called?
This one's going to be called Red Wing.
Red Wing.
And she is the featured vocalist on
it. All right, here we go, folks.
Now, she being Joanne.
Joanne.
Joanne. Okay.
There once was an Indian maid, a shy little prairie maid, singing and singing on the plain. She wanted to bring the new chill on the microphone. That shy little maid alone, he really gave me road away to the meadow far away. Now the moon shines so bright, I'm pretty, pretty green. The sea is crying, and I'm first crying.
Thank you.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstein here with my little brother, Jeff Reed.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson, Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And
don't waste your time following us on Twitter. And even, no one's tweeted in months.
And even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. Now, Jeffrey, it's Easter morning. Our Lord has risen. The kids are full of chocolate.
Fred's
got a cigar and a Bloody Maria.
Is that what it is? What that is?
That's what it's all about.
I just ordered another Maker's.
Okay.
Did I tell you I gave up bourbon for Lent?
No, you did not.
That's because I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd give anything up.
That's not true. That's totally not true.
Let's see.
I gave up having mean thoughts about you for Lent.
No, that didn't. You failed.
It worked.
You failed.
I used my cognitively based compassion training to have warm thoughts about you in my heart. I kept thinking of the color blue and you and warmth. And Fred, it's like magic. Wow. I can tolerate you now.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Well, you know, we just had
Easter. It's a time of renewal.
We had some fabulous bluegrass music.
Fabulous is right.
And now...
Folks, this is what makes being part of the Fred and Jeff Show so fabulous, is we get to meet all... Not only do we get to meet all these great people and have great music and guests and, you know, just it's just so much fun talking about all the great things that happen here in the Old Pueblo, but... I get to hang out with my brother.
And we are hanging out on the patio of McMahon's Prime Steakhouse.
You didn't have anything nice to say about me?
You know what Mom used to say. If you don't have anything nice,
don't say anything at all. I got you, Fred.
It is actually very joyful to, you know, 5 years. Well, let's take a bigger step back. So we're in the 50-plus zone, you and
what?
I. And when we were kids, we'd fight like cats and dogs.
Yes, we would.
And who would have thought, people who knew us as children... Who would have thunk it that we have a radio show and we're nice to each other and we care about each other?
This is true.
Who would have thunk it?
I would have thunk it.
Not Mom and Dad.
No, not Mom and Dad. Listener number one and listener number two.
Yeah.
But we digress.
Our only two listeners.
Yes. No, Auntie Margaret tunes in every once in a while.
Now, I don't think she knows about technology yet. I barely think she knows how to drive.
She's got a flip phone now.
A flip phone.
A flip phone.
Wow.
True story.
But she didn't. Did she turn it on?
Good question.
She just has it.
Good question. Hey, are we going to give anything away today?
Eventually, sure.
All right, folks, write this phone number down. You got to write this phone number down, because if you write this phone number down, you are guaranteed to get a prize from the prize package of here at Fred and Jeff Show.
And let me tell people, we get so many people calling in.
We do get lots of people calling in.
We get so many people calling in. And I don't return, I just send the prize out to whoever wins. I don't, call people up and say, sorry, try next week.
Sorry, you're caller number two. Try again next week.
But we do listen to all the calls. We love all the calls, because some people send us some really choice things.
And amusing.
Amusing
anecdotes.
Yeah. But if you call in, don't think you're not listened to. The winner gets the prize. It gets mailed out.
Yes, we have no snooze notifications on our... On a Google Voice number.
So you either get a call from us or you get a call from Mayfield Forest.
Right.
Yeah, so...
And what's your phone number, Fred?
The phone number, if you would like to win a fabulous prize, is 520-428-5104. That is 520-428-5104. And before we go any further...
Oh, geez.
You know, one of the things that we love about the show, that I love about this show... is our return guests.
Yes.
Because every spring, we get to hang out with Mia Schnabel.
Who we refer to lovingly as the Bingo Queen, Mia Schnabel. How are you doing, Mia?
I'm doing well. Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. How'd you do in your bracket this year?
Amazing.
Yeah?
I actually had Michigan State going pretty far.
How about Michigan State? Were they in there too?
I can't even say. Michigan State, yeah.
It's early. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday
Easter,
morning.
You got all the sugar coursing through your veins.
Bunny ears gone.
Yeah, from all the little peeps you've consumed over the last 24 hours.
Perhaps more than I should have.
So tell us, you are the grand dame of the Arizona International Film Festival.
I'm number three.
There are two grand dames in front of you.
I'm number three.
You are numero uno.
In our hearts, Mia, you're number one.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
So, and what year festival is this?
24. I can't believe it. Unbelievable.
24. Wow.
Yeah. 24th Arizona International Film Festival right here in lovely Tucson, Arizona.
And you know, I was handed by one of our people before this, before the show, these fabulous questions to ask you. So I'm just going to dig right in. So Mia, when is the Arizona International Film Festival?
It is coming up. It is starts this Thursday.
This Thursday?
April 9th to the 26th.
That's crazy.
It's 17 days of fun, film, and friends. Can't get better than that.
Okay, now, before we go any further, I just got to ask you. You've got an all-festival pass.
We do.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing.
And tell me, all-festival pass, all shows.
Am I allowed to say how much it is?
Please.
It's only $100.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. 17 days, $100. Gets you into everything. It gets you into the opening night, all the films, all the panels, all the parties. All access pass means all access.
Wow. And now, this year, where are all the films being shown? I mean, you're still kind of all over the map?
Nope. This year, we're concentrating on the streetcar round. Streetcars are theme. Steve Farley, state representative, or state senator, actually, he helped bring the streetcar to Tucson. He's one of the many. He is our honorary chair. And all the venues will be walkable from the streetcar route.
Wow.
Opening night, I'm very pleased to announce it's going to be at the Rialto Theater. And then we might have another film there. And then we're going to move over to the screening room, the newly remodeled, new screen,
fabulous
new sound,
screening room.
Digital projector, seats, cup holders, beer and wine now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and pizza.
And pizza.
Yeah, delicious.
At the screening room.
Yep. Love the screening room.
It's great.
Sweet. All right. So everything is on the streetcar route.
Yes, indeed.
So as Fred likes to refer to it as the choo-choo train.
He could say that if he'd like.
I do say that.
That's what he calls
on a regular basis.
The choo-choo train.
I call it my streetcar, but, you know, we each have different names.
I had a meeting with Mayor Rothschild last week. And
name dropper.
No. And I said something about the trolley, and he goes, no, it's the modern streetcar. And I said, no, it's actually the choo-choo. And he had a good laugh at that and then gave me a frown and said, no, it's the modern streetcar.
Get out of my office. Right?
No, but I'm working diligently to get people to call it the choo-choo.
Keep working on that.
Yeah, it's better than what they wanted to call it.
Oh, don't get me started.
Okay, so the second question I've been asked to ask you is, how many countries will there be represented on these films?
No, there has to be more than just us because it's the international.
Right.
That is correct. We have 22 countries this year.
Out of how many?
There's a lot of countries in the world.
It's
out of all of them.
Stump me a show today.
Yes, it is. I didn't realize it was going to be a quiz time.
So it's 20 how many?
22 countries at this year's festival.
22 out of all of them.
Out of all of them. Over the 24 years of the festival, we've had over 90 countries represented.
Wow.
We have Luxembourg this year. Hello. You don't get that anywhere else.
Only at the Arizona International Film Festival.
That's right.
So is that like a fetish film from Luxembourg?
No, it's a little off the wall, though. Is
it about cheese?
It's a little dark. It's a little dark.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So you brought some folks here with you today.
What an exciting festival. Out of the 122 films, this is, I think, a first for us. We have a Tucson film opening our festival, and we have a Tucson film closing, which I definitely know that is a first.
Now, are you responsible for that?
Luckily I'm not a screener.
Happened.
I'm not a screener.
Oh, wait, I thought you were a screener.
No, I'm I'm the director of development and marketing.
But you don't get to screen.
I don't want to screen.
Oh, just too much.
Too much. We have 122 films. We probably had close to 1,000 films submit.
Holy mackerel.
It's very time consuming. I have to beat the bushes and raise money instead.
Wow. 1,000 films?
Yeah, probably.
That's a lot of watching.
Yeah, that is.
When do they start watching films?
October, November.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it takes them through February. It's a long process. It's a fun process, but you have to watch the good and the bad and the ugly all the way through Unlike some festivals that don't watch all the way through, we actually watch all the way through.
Good for you guys.
Do you provide popcorn?
No, I do not. No, that's...
How about Raisinets?
Nope.
No raisinets.
Screeners got to provide their own snacks. I know.
These are questions that I was given. I'm just trying to stick to the script, man.
Yeah, just stick to the list of raisinets and popcorn asking.
Perfect. So, back to the good stuff. You brought some folks with you here today.
Yes. Very proud to have brought Leslie Epperson. She is the filmmaker from Tucson, award-winning filmmaker, and she brought Many Bones, One Heart. That's opening our festival at the Rialto. And we also brought Robert Loomis. He's also an award-winning filmmaker from Tucson. And he's doing the closing night film on the 25th, because, as you remember, the 26th is best of all day. So don't come on the 26th to see Robert's film. And that is called...
Why, you don't think it's going to be the best?
Well, we haven't voted yet.
Oh, the voting.
Yeah, that's the 25th. The awards night is...
Do you get to vote?
No, I don't vote.
Okay, so they can't slip you a couple bucks.
That's why I don't get a vote.
See, no, last year I got to vote for some of the comedy shorts.
Yes, yeah. So sometimes the audience gets to vote too. So
yeah,
it's pretty fun.
My choice didn't win anything, but
well, that shouldn't surprise anybody. So Leslie,
yes,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So apparently, you used to work with our dad.
I did. I worked at KUAT for several years.
He speaks very highly of you, by the way.
Yes, he was very impressed with the volume of your work.
Seriously?
No, I don't know. Just why do you got to go there? People don't know. Trying to give you a compliment on, you know. Let's talk about your film.
Okay. Well, it's about the All Souls procession and the people behind the scenes that have been making it happen for many, many years, who sacrificed a lot, the artists and activists and teachers and veterinarians and doctors. I mean, people from Tucson. Do it, and it's all volunteer run. So
now, is this a documentary?
Yes, it's a documentary.
So it's honest to goodness Tucson folks out there, blood, sweat, and tears, creating one of the most fabulous events in the old West. In the old
Pueblo. Yeah, it is. It is, and it's. I mean, that was the joy of it for me, was to see people doing what they do for fun, you know, for creativity, and it's separate from, for a lot of them, it is what they do, they're artists, and other people, it has nothing to do with what they do for a living, it's what they do for love, you know, really.
Well, and so for the two people out there listening who do
Mom
not
dad.
Know, no, they know what it is,
oh.
So do not know what the All Souls Procession is, give us a brief description.
The All Souls Procession started in 1990 as a small ritual and started by artist Susan Johnson, who wanted to mourn her father in a ritualistic art performance piece. And everybody liked it and said, let's do it again. And she said, well, I'm not doing that again, but let's do a procession part that
right.
we can do. And it just caught on, like, right away. Every year it doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled, and now it went from, like, 20 people for the first one to over 100,000 people last year.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's such a healing process. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, and what did, how did you get the idea that you wanted to be the person to document this happening?
Well, I'd been watching it for years and loved it, and in 2010, I just thought, oh, you know, nobody's done a really good, comprehensive documentary about the All Souls Procession, I'll do it. And then when I started talking to Nadia Hagen, who is the artistic director now, and got to hear a little bit of her story, I realized it was a much bigger story than I was aware of, and this deserves a feature-length documentary, so I went for it.
Good for you. Funding? Was it easy to get?
No.
That's the comedy question you wanted me to ask.
Yes, that is a comedy question. No, funding is never easy to get. I don't think so.
So how'd you scrape the money together?
Well, some of it, Tucson Pima Arts Council gave me an artist grant. That helped me start. And then I did an Indiegogo campaign, which is an online fundraising campaign.
Like a Kickstarter.
Like a Kickstarter. Very similar. I think they're a little older than Kickstarter, actually.
Okay.
And they do films a lot. And then I got a nice grant from the Southwestern Foundation for Education and Historical Preservation. Or they like to say, just say the Southwestern Foundation. That's easier. And they are a very small but important foundation here in town that, you know, they funded the seed search, you know, little things that really need a boost. They try to find out who they are and help them to make, you know, it is part about making Tucson a better place to live.
Absolutely. And they found you and supported you, and we're all going to get to see your great work.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, well, we're really looking forward to it. When is it being screened?
April 9th at 6 p.m. The gala begins. The screening itself begins at 7 p.m. It'll be introduced by Steve Farley. And then, and we'll have the missing parts, who are the composer performers for the film, for the film score, will be playing for the people.
Excellent, excellent. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with lots more here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
I don't care what they say. I'm gonna keep it anyway. I won't let them stretch their necks to see my little black hair with the little white specks.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating people, the places, the events, history, and culture make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And one of the things that makes the old Pueblo is so gosh darn wonderful
is sitting on the porch of McMahon's, smoking a cigar, drinking a bourbon.
And a Bloody Maria.
And a Bloody Maria. On a Sunday morning.
And talking to
Mia
Schnabel.
The bingo queen. God love you, Mia. How are you doing?
The grand dame of the Arizona International Film Festival.
That's right.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hey.
Oh, what a great Sunday. What a great Sunday.
Beautiful Easter Sunday. So you have also brought another person here, another gentleman with you.
Yes, indeedy.
Give us an idea of what he is bringing to the Arizona International Film Festival.
Oh, we are so excited to have Robert. Robert is an Arizona alumni, the Arizona International Film Festival alumni. He's had several films at our festival. He's won a couple of awards. So we're so excited to have his movie, Dropkick, finish out the fest.
Dropkick. Robert Loomis.
Yes.
Hola, hi. How you doing?
Hi, happy Easter.
Yeah, thanks, you too. You too. Robert, are you from Tucson?
I'm an Army brat, so I'm from everywhere, but I've lived in Tucson longer than anywhere else, so I consider Tucson my home.
All right.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How long have you been making films?
20-something years, 25 years, quarter of a century.
So right out of grade school?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Just like Spielberg.
Okay, so Mia, you brought us some crazy people today, haven't
you? Yes, indeed.
So Robert, tell us about Dropkick.
All right, it's a movie set in the world of women's rugby. I used to play rugby with Old Pueblo. Go Lions.
Hey, I got a buddy named Rusty Wortman.
Yeah, Rusty.
He's the coach of the women's UMA rugby team.
That's how this all happened.
Get out of here.
No, I ran into Rusty, and I had to have this idea for a film, and he was coaching the women's team. And the Lightning as well, the U of A team as well as the Lightning, which is the U of A women's team, who's not the Tucson women's team, who's not U of A.
Okay,
there's two teams basically, and I thought about it and I said, oh, this makes the idea I have even better, the fact that it's set in Tucson, and it made sense, and so I just started. This was several years ago now. It's taken me about 7 years from idea to completion to get this movie done.
Why is it taking so long?
I would say one reason.
Money.
Yeah, always.
Money,
yeah.
So that's a lot of girls to have to follow through.
I got really lucky with my cast stuck around. They were really loyal, and I mean, that's what rugby players are. They're loyal, and so I knew I could count on them. And we just, year after year, we'd go out and film some stuff and keep getting it further along, until finally we were done. And now we're ready to show it for the first time publicly, April 25th. I'm sure you were going to ask me anyway.
Oh, yeah.
April 25th at 7 o'clock, Saturday at 7 o'clock. So good show time, and it's essentially the closing night film. And we're going to have a mariachi band there. There's also mariachi music in the film. It's a very Tucson film.
Yeah, I mean, rugby and mariachi music, that's a perfect... It just syncs up so well.
It surprisingly so. You wouldn't think off the bat, but once you see the movie, it all makes sense.
Oh,
so is this a documentary as well?
It's not. It's a narrative feature.
Okay.
Although it has documentary elements. We interview women from the actual rugby team and incorporate that into the film, especially with the theme of loyalty and keeping your promises and friendship. But the story itself is about one of their teammates unexpectedly dies, and they have to sort of a group of them get together and have to kind of go to the extreme lengths to fulfill her final wishes, which are a little unusual. She wants her ashes spread in a bar. So of course they have to defy all kinds of things: common decency, family wishes, and the law.
Wow.
To pull this off.
So a narrative feature.
Yes.
Well, I know what a documentary is. I know what a full feature is.
Yeah.
But a narrative feature.
Same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It tells a story, and it's not a documentary.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Well, yeah.
How long's the film?
It's just about 75 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not quite full length.
Well,
or it is full length.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what defines full length anymore.
Technically,
it's not like Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah,
where
it's not Lawrence. Well, it's definitely not Lawrence of Arabia.
Right.
But yeah, anything over 70 minutes is generally considered a feature, and so I just barely scraping by with this one, just making it.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff in the feature.
And so here we are. Right, yeah, just to make sure it's 73 minutes,
yeah,
right?
Like
now, I've had problems with that in the past, actually.
Yeah, do they count the credits as part of the time?
Oh, yeah. No. Thank goodness, yeah.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's been several great movies that are under 70 minutes. The Wild One with Marlon Brando is only 69 minutes long.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then Snow White is 68 minutes long. So if the story's good enough, you don't notice the time
really
one way or the other.
It goes fast.
It can be 3 hours, it's great. It can be 68 minutes, it's great. As long as it's a good story. And when you come out, and I invite you personally to come out, please, April 25th, 7 o'clock, you can judge for yourselves.
Oh, that's fabulous. Fabulous. So what other works have you done?
Well, my most famous film is called Dog Years, with a Y, and that's been internationally distributed. I say that because you can't enunciate the difference between ears in years.
Right, got it.
It's dog ears or dog ears?
Dog ears,
it's
right.
Dog ears. And it was that actually won Best of Arizona in 1998. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
98?
Then, yeah, and then Angry Young Man came out in 2003 won Best of Arizona as well. So this is my third feature with the Arizona International Film Festival, and I've always won. So let's keep the trend going.
Don't get cocky.
Yeah.
Don't get cocky.
I just jinxed it. Darn it. Darn it. Yeah.
So has anyone else seen this film Dropkick yet?
We had a cast and crew screening. This is going to be the world premiere.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Very cool. All right. So Mia, we got a minute left. Well, what do you want people to know?
I
want to
know we have a website, filmfestivalarizona.com. There's individual tickets, $6, $8. You can buy five movies for $25. You can buy an all-access for $100. It's 17 days of fun film and friends. It's going to be a great time. We have workshops. We have panels. We have films. We have parties.
Go
to the website. It's an amazing event. You need to come.
Any other social media?
We have all. We have tons. We got it all. We got Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. You name it, we got it.
All right, and the Friend Jeff Show.
And the Friend Jeff
Show.
There you go. Now, I got to ask you.
Are we official
You're media official sponsor. You can see that. Oh, you can see your logo on the website. Another reason to go to filmfestivalarizona.com.
Nice.
See your logo.
I love it. Okay, I
got to
ask you. I ask you this question every year. What are the films you're excited about?
I'm super excited about, obviously, the two that I brought. But Big Muddy, that's April the 10th. It's from Canada. It's an alumni. It's great. It's this modern-day thing about a grifter and the choices she's made. Hope for Steve, and a film of a road trip dealing with a guy who had ALS.
Oh.
And he and his newlywed decide to do a road trip.
What's that one called?
Hope for Steve.
Hope for Steve.
And it's uplifting. It's a nice road trip. Girl on the Edge. That's kind of exciting. This woman, this girl kind of got her life destroyed by social media.
Oh, no.
And does horse therapy to get her life back on track.
Wow.
And all those filmmakers are coming to town. We have, out of the 122 films, 40 films will have representation. So you can meet filmmakers at the festival. That's what makes festivals so much fun.
Awesome. Folks, get out to the Arizona International Film Festival.
And we're going to give away two passes to opening night, which is April 9th. First caller at 520-428-5104 will get two passes opening night at the Rialto for the Arizona International Film Festival.
And thanks for what you guys do. You guys are great. Mia, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, folks, go out there and have a great Easter, and we'll see you next week here on
The Fred and Jeff Show.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest fellow in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look us over, we'll be the proudest couple.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.